Welcome everyone to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shahid and I am your host, and this is the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. This episode is episode 40, where we will be discussing the Bollywood remake of Kramer vs. Kramer with returning guest and all-around terrible person, Mohammed Baloch. Before we get started, though, I do need to let you know this is a pre-recorded episode, so there will be some dated references, but that's always fun to point out and nitpick. But more importantly, I do have to basically do my first retraction on this podcast. What that means basically is back in episode 37, me and my guest were discussing, essentially the episode was recorded right after the death of Sridevi. And we were kind of sharing our experiences and talking about, you know, how she's impacted us. And basically I was ranting off a list of other Bollywood actresses that had passed away. I mentioned Rima Lagu, things like that. Now during that list also, I very mistakenly included actress Farida Jalal, who is alive and well, but you'll know her from movies like Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai Dilwale, and the list goes on. She is the essential, one of the essential quintessential moms of Bollywood. I mistakenly mentioned that she had passed away. She has not, so I am retracting that. She is alive and well. For anyone that might have heard and gotten upset, that was a big mistake on my part. It's been nagging at me at the back of my head all these sort of weeks, and I just never got the chance to kind of bring it up. So Farida Jalal is well and fine. Thank you for indulging me on this. Let's continue with the episode. This is episode 40 of the Split Screen Podcast featuring Mohammed Baloch. On this episode, we are going to be taking a look at two movies, one from Hollywood, one from Bollywood. The movies are Kramer vs. Kramer and Akele Hum Akele Tum. Kramer vs. Kramer is from 1979, starring Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep, screenwritten and directed by Robert Benton from a novel, adapted from a novel. The movie actually kind of swept the award season in the year it came out for the Oscars in 1980s, for example. It won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress for Meryl Streep, Best Director for Robert Benton, and Best Adapted Screenplay based on the novel. So it made sense for them to adapt it into Bollywood with the movie Akele Hum Akele Tum from 1995, starring Aamir Khan and Monisha Koirala, written and directed by Mansoor Khan. This movie was nominated for a few Filmfare Awards at the time. It was nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Director, Best Music Director, Lyricist, and Playback Singer for Mr. Udit Narayan for the song Raja Ko Rani Se. Unfortunately, the movie didn't win any awards, but these are the two movies we'll be discussing. And given the fact that these movies are, I mean, the newest movie is essentially 21 years old, I think we can forego any sort of spoiler warning here. You know we're going to be talking about this movie in depth. So there will be spoilers for this movie. If, for whatever reason, you've been wanting to watch a 21-year-old movie and never got around to it, please watch the movie and come back to the show and definitely get into the discussion. Kramer vs. Kramer is actually available on iTunes to buy or rent, while Akele Hum Akele Tum, the official version by the same production company Venus, is available on the Venus YouTube channel on YouTube.com. So, without further ado, let me introduce the guest for this show. It's a cool guy. You know, I got a chance to meet him. I was probably being punished for something. But we have on this show to discuss these two movies, Mr. Mohammed Baloch from Bollycast.
Wow, man, that was a great intro. I'm not just talking about my intro. I'm talking about the intro overall.
It's 2018, man. 2018, yeah. You get professional up in this.
No, I don't feel like advertising my podcast on this.
It'll all be in the show notes. So regardless if you say it or not, there's going to be links everywhere.
No. I feel like a dumbass now with that intro. No, that was cool. How long did it take you to prepare all that shit?
So when you prepare, you obviously mean copy-paste from IMDb and Wikipedia, like 5 minutes. I was telling you a little earlier on, like I've always approached this podcast and the movies we talk about from a fan perspective. And I get people who love these movies to come on and talk about them. But I never considered the possibility that there might be an audience out there that doesn't know what these movies are or put them into context, especially when you're comparing two industries. Like there might be guys you know, who are Bollywood fans, and they don't know this Hollywood movie I'm talking about. So I think it's nice to kind of put it into context that, hey, this is a movie, this was really big in the industry that it came out in, and here's why we're kind of doing it. So
basically, you really care about your listeners.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
you really, really, yeah.
Don't give me shit for trying to be a better person and a better podcaster, okay? God.
No, I for the first time, I'm actually saying something nice about you. Like me, when you listen to our podcast, we're like, whatever, Google that shit.
Yeah, I think that should just be like your show description. At this
Google
point, like, just change your show description to Bollycast. Description, Google it. It's like, what? But yeah, okay, man, thank you so much for taking the time. Okay, so I have to confess to the public. I don't know if you harbor any sort of resentment for this, because Baloch was actually on the first iteration of this show back in episode 5, I believe it was, when we took a look at the Shah Rukh Khan Don as well as the Amitabh Bachchan Don, way back when. This is 2015, I think. So since then, I believe after that show, he had an idea. He's like, you know what? The next movie we should do is Kramer versus Kramer. Okay, this
was
legit 2 years ago. And again, I'll take the blame because, I mean, it is really, again, like I said, because of my unprofessional not giving a crap about this thing and just kind of doing it on the fly, it took me 2 years to get prepared for this show. So
I watched it too. This is the second time I watched these two films. I was like, oh shit, I have to do this all over again.
So, Baloch, again, if you have any sort of resentment that you harbor against me, I don't really give a shit. So let's move on.
No. Whatever resentment I had is gone probably a year ago.
See, that was intentional, right? I waited intentionally this long so you could get over it and then we can start again.
Because we were going to do it. We were going to do it 2 years ago, and I don't know what happened.
I have no idea what happened, yeah. To be honest.
Because I watched it, and you're like, I haven't watched it yet. Give me a couple of weeks, and then 2 years later.
Yes, I meant 100-something weeks. Was that not clear? That's how I count couple. Come on. All right, so let's get into this. So again, so it's safe to say this show is long-awaited, long-delayed. It's almost like Padmavat. all right, so Baloch, did you want to do a quick synopsis of, I mean, both the movies kind of follow the same sort of sequential events. Did you want to kind of tell us what the movie's about, or did you want me to do that because, you know, you're so unintelligible?
Sure, I'll do it after that compliment. So the movie is about, both movies is about this woman who is not happy with her life due to her husband, and you know, he's immature, only thinks about himself, doesn't care about his wife gets mad, she leaves, he's stuck with a kid that he doesn't know, right? I'm not sure if Aamir Khan was a worse father or Dustin Hoffman, I'm not sure, but he doesn't know his kid, he doesn't even know how to make breakfast. And a year later, you know, things change. He falls in love with his kid. He starts taking care of him. He loses his job, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And then the wife comes back and says, I want the kid.
Mm-hmm. And then essentially
there's a court case. Now, Kramer versus Kramer, a quick review is to the point. Akele hum, akele tum. I can't be too judgmental because the movie was made in 90s. And Bollywood movies in the 90s take a long-ass time to get to the point. So even though I liked Akele Hum Akele Tum, it did take a huge-ass time to get to the point. And should I tell the ending?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay, so he loses the kid. He cries.
This is Akele Hum Akele Tum.
No, even in Kramer vs. Kramer, he's crying. It's just done in a more realistic way.
Hoffman cries in a sort of very, you know, secluded sort of, I'm going to express my emotions in the privacy of, you know, my own apartment.
So does Aamir Khan.
Yeah, but we see it. Like, Dustin Hoffman, we don't actually see, like, blathering and, like, bawling in tears. Whereas Aamir Khan, we actually see him break down in tears.
Yeah. Which I think I was, okay. Now, the first time I ever felt like crying in a movie was Akele Hum Akele Tum.
Really?
I was 8, I think.
Oh, okay.
I was 8, And that was the first time I'm like, oh, so the movies can make you feel sad. You know, the first
That's kind of funny.
Experience you have was that. Aamir Khan sitting on the bed and crying.
Wow.
And I almost felt like crying. But as a man, I held my tears back.
You were 8. What the hell?
My mom was there. I didn't want to see her see me cry.
You were 8. I'm sure she's seen you cry enough times.
I know it's weird. I cried over toys, but when it comes to movies, I didn't cry.
That was the first time. I'm fine. That's interesting. No, I don't. I mean, it's funny. It's cool. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because I can't. I'm trying to think of what movie made me first cry. I can't think of. I don't know what made me first cry, but if I had to like guess, I'm gonna assume it was a Salman Khan movie, maybe.
Was it fair enough?
No. I think it was, again, I can't remember. I mean, I honestly don't know. But it's just that I know from a young age I've been prone to crying when I see Salman Khan crying. I've talked about this before too, like it's weird that people know this about me. But so I'm gonna assume it was that, but I honestly can't remember. But that's cool that this movie had that much of a sort of a long lasting life effect on you, that you were like, movies can make you feel things, Ma. Look it. there's a lot to talk about with both these movies, right? Because again, speaking of that line of sort of concept of, you know, a guy crying, there is a lot of sort of gender discussions to have with both these movies. And both these movies were made at a time when, you know, what we see on screen isn't the norm. Like a guy taking care of his kid, a guy doing housework, a guy doing, the responsibilities that at the time were solely for, you know, the wife or the mom or the woman. This wasn't the norm either in India. I mean, and in India, things are, again, always changing. But for Bollywood and Hollywood at the time, each of these movies were made, this was not the norm. So there is a lot of cool conversation that you have from this movie where it's like, there's a gender sort of, a difference in gender. There's roles and responsibilities are getting switched a little bit. You know, it's the mom that essentially, I mean, getting back to the movies, it's the mom who decides to leave. Whereas the stereotype is always, you know, a father walking out on his family, you know, for whatever reason. But this movie, both these movies open, Kramer versus Kramer more so than Akele Hamakiratum, but both these movies, the premise is the mom leaves her family. She walks out on the family because she's unhappy and she wants to pursue something more in life. She wants to do something more with her life, which is more than what it is, which is a housewife, which is a mom, which is a wife, which is a cleaner, a cook, that kind of thing. How did you feel about that? Because I know, connecting it to today, I know that today there's a lot of discussions about, you know, feminism, equal women's rights and things like that. When you watch this movie in the context of today, because for me, again, I'm looking at it myself when I was a kid. I don't remember much about it. Kramer vs. Kramer, I didn't see prior to us talking about it for this show. And I thought it stands the test of time, really. Like, there's a lot of things you don't look at in this movie and go, this is dated. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, for sure. And actually, the first time I saw the movie...
2 years ago.
I saw I saw the woman as someone who was evil. Like, for both Kramer versus Kramer and Akele Hamakiratum, like, how can this bitch leave her family, blah, blah, blah. But as an adult, as a grown man, I kind of understand and see her point of view, like, why she would do what she did. And yeah, it the movie's not dated. This type of thing is still happening. You still have fathers who don't really know their kids. They put all the responsibility on a woman to do, or on their wife to do, and then when she gets frustrated and leaves, then she gets the blame. I've seen a lot of married couples that are somewhat going through the same thing.
And I mean, it's interesting too, because both the movies approach it in a different way. So for example, in Kramer vs. Kramer, that's the first scene, right? The first scene is the unhappy mother decided to leave her family and she's packing. Whereas in Akele Hamakiratum, it takes a lot longer to get to that point. I think it's like 36 minutes into the movie where the mom decides to leave. So in Akele Hamakiratum, we do get a bit of backstory of how this couple met, their love story, their brief love story, the influence in their lives, their goals, their career ambitions, like, which all kind of happened off screen in Kramer versus Kramer, right? In Kramer versus Kramer, we only hear about it like in the third act of the movie, about why did she actually leave? Like, we don't really get a lot of clear motivations of why Meryl Streep's character took off, right? Which is why I think it's easier to demonize her a little bit. That, like, what the hell is wrong with you? How do you just, everyone's unhappy, how do you just up and leave? But it's not until the third act, when she's in the courtroom, where she actually reveals and goes through the thought process of what she went through. But in
which I actually liked better.
Did you like that better?
Yeah. I think movies like, okay, so some of the best part in Akele Hum, Akele Tum was the court case. That's how people remember this film, mostly. Or when the woman leaves, you know, when his wife leaves.
Right.
That's when the movie really begins. So I don't think you needed all that filler. But again, I can understand it's a 90s film. Them trying to make a movie like this was already something huge. Don't you feel that this was like an experimental film too? Because people always think Aamir Khan doing experimental film when they think of films like Lagaan.
I think
or
post Surfer Rosh is when he's associated with like doing one movie a year and cool movies and stuff. I mean, I definitely do. I mean, at the time, I don't think this was a movie that you got to see, right? At a time like in 1995. This wasn't, I mean, it was interesting too, because you have, I mean, just for some trivia, Shah Rukh Khan was offered this role the role that Aamir Khan essentially plays. And he was offered the role and he turned it down. And his reason for turning it down was the fact that it is really emotional. It does show the hero in a light that's not the best. And at the time, Shah Rukh Khan was on the peak of his romantic movie career. And he wanted to focus on that, so he didn't want to do a movie like this. So I think we still have to give Aamir Khan some credit that even way before Lagaan, way before Surfer Rosh, way before this, his career took off as doing serious films and experimental movies, I still think he was making choices that were different than the typical hero at
the time. That's weird you say Shah Rukh Khan turned it down, because didn't Baazigar come around the same time, which was like an experimental film.
Definitely, yeah. But I mean, I think a huge chunk of Baazigar is like the romance. It's only like this movie, I was surprised at how quickly this movie gets through all the stuff that usually would sell a movie to audiences at the time in the 90s.
Yeah.
We get the love story out of the way in the first 30 minutes. The next half is just this dude being horrible to this kid for like a good 30 minutes until things get better, you know? Ultimately, I did like, in terms of the story being told, I honestly did like Akele Hum Akele Tum a lot better than Kramer vs. Kramer. Okay. But at the same time, I do think the movies are totally different in what they're trying to do. For example, I watched Kramer vs. Kramer with my sister, and she did not like the ending of Kramer vs. Kramer. Not because of the fact that everyone reunites, because ultimately, again, spoiler for the movies.
Do they? Really?
Well, that's
the
thing.
She was seeing someone.
But here's the thing. Here's my thing, right? Because my sister hated that. So, I mean, at the end of Kramer versus Kramer, the dad loses the case, like you mentioned. The son is court-ordered to be sent to the mom. But the mom shows up at the last minute and essentially says, I don't want to take him away from his home. He deserves to stay with you. Blah, 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 blah. This is his home. And she basically kind of dismisses her claim. But at the end of the movie, you know, and even they're also on good terms at that point. Dustin Hoffman's and Meryl Streep's character are on good terms. And she says, I want to go see him. And the dad says, yeah, you go see him. Like, I'll give you guys some privacy. Like, he kind of allows them to have a relationship independent. And that's where the movie ends. Like, we literally cut to black. And my sister hated that.
That's realistic, though. That's realistic.
I completely agree with you.
And it's subtle.
I completely agree with you. And my sister hated that because she's like, I want to see the reunion. I want to physically see it happen. and my thing was, you don't need to because now it's so open-ended. Right?
Yeah, it's up to you to
decide. Yeah, like now it's like you kind of have to go, okay, well, now what happens? Do they stay divorced and do they just kind of have a platonic relationship as you know, father and mother instead of husband and wife with the kid? Or do they reunite as a couple? Like, you don't know. And it doesn't matter because it's reality doesn't work that way. Like, you don't get everything resolved in the movie. You get the story resolved. Like, this whole movie was about the kid. It's Kramer versus Kramer. It's husband and wife fighting over a kid. At the end of the movie, the kid's going to be happy because he's going to have both his parents. Do they get together or not? That's not what the story is about. Whereas in Akele Hum Akele Tum, I thought that movie was more of a beginning to end resolution. Like, you see the couple hook up, you see their lives, you see their motivations earlier on, you see them get married, you see them have the kid, then you see them dealing with their problems, and at the end, that situation, I don't think Akela Hum Akela Tum is about the kid. I think it is more about their relationship.
The family.
Yeah.
About the family. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially because even from the perspective, like, we don't see Meryl Streep throughout the movie. We don't see what she does when she's not with Hoffman or the kid.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see her side of the situation, right? We don't see what her life is like. Whereas Akela Hum Akela Tum, we do see what Monisha Kerala's life is like. We do get perspectives. The story is told also from her perspective as well. So yeah. That's why I think it is more about this group of people, this couple and their kid, versus just this dad and his kid, which I think is what more Kramer versus Kramer is about.
Yeah, that's a good point. Has she seen Akele Hum Akele Tum?
No, I tried to get her to watch it, and she's like, she didn't have it.
She's like, no. She'll probably like it more. Does she like Bollywood films?
Generally, but yeah, I think that speaks to the audiences too, right? That the movies are made for, right?
But did you
find, for example, like, so after, I mean, obviously after she leaves, there is these scenes of the dad having to figure out how to take care of his kid. There's a lot of in that that I thought was really sort of funny, heartwarming, cliched a lot. Like, what did you think about those scenes of the guy in both movies having to deal with this kid that he doesn't really know?
Okay, so everything that they did original in the movie, I'm just talking about the whole movie, and it'll come to the kid point too.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of liked it, except the back love story. I was not a fan of that. But
you
after
mean
when she leaves,
in the Bollywood version, Akela
Hum Akela Tum. After she leaves, and then you see her side of the story, and you see his side of the story, and you see him taking care of the kid. Everything that they did original, I liked it more, like the father drinking in Akele Hum Akele Tum.
Oh, okay.
Everything that they did original, like when Aamir Khan drinks in front of the kid and the kid said, "I don't like you drinking." Everything that they did, that was like kind of like their own idea.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Okay.
But when they were copying Kramer versus Kramer, it felt like, I felt like Aamir Khan was overacting and the scenes were over exaggerated. For example, the omelet scene, the French toast scene. By the way, after watching Kramer versus Kramer, I made French toast.
Hey, you know what? After watching Kramer versus Kramer, I got validation that I'm like, okay, so that is how you make French toast, right? Okay, good. I haven't been doing it right all these years. I haven't been doing it wrong all these years. I'm like, good, that's how they do it. That's fine. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, by the way, that French toast scene symbolizes their relationship. Like, in the beginning, it's all chaotic.
Oh my god, I
and
love
at
that.
At the end,
it's like synchronized.
Like perfect.
Yeah. She's giving him the bread. He's giving him the milk. He's putting the bread in the thing. Yeah, I love that. I thought that was very subtly done. But
with Aamir Khan, when he's making omelet, he's like over exaggerating, acting like crazy, and then same thing with that scene where his kid gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
and he picks him up and he runs to the hospital.
Yeah.
When I saw that same scene with Aamir Khan, I'm like, oh my God, they just overly, like, he's exaggerating. He's like saying taxi and he's doing this and that. It's just, some of those scenes felt too overacted.
It's, you know what, I'm totally agreeing with you there. It also kind of made me feel like, I believed Aamir Khan's performance when he didn't know his kid too well. Like, I believe that he doesn't know how to talk to a kid. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe that. Like, but when he became okay with his son, that to me felt forced. And I don't know if you want
really?
To chalk that up. I mean, not always, but it did feel like it did. I mean, a lot of the times it did feel like, okay, I feel like he doesn't really know how to be paternal, you know, like how to be fatherly to the kid. I have to say, though, the kid in Akela Hum Akela Tum is hella smarter, a lot more personable than the kid in Kramer versus Kramer. I think that has a lot to do with
more
what
mature.
You're saying.
Yeah, he was
I
more
think that has a lot to do with what you're saying in terms of the chemistry with those two. In Kramer versus Kramer, I feel like it was all Dustin Hoffman kind of sharing the scene with the actor. I mean, the actor was great, don't get me wrong, but I do feel like the actor, the child, his son in the movie was supposed to be a lot younger, a lot less mature, you know, a lot simpler. I mean, a lot more like a kid, to be completely honest. But the kid in Aquila Hemakaratum was more like a movie kid. He is more mature than his age. He does understand a lot more than he's supposed to at his age. But I find that helped. I think that helped that chemistry between the father and the son, where the kid has as much personality as the father and them clashing together and stuff.
Yeah. And also, I think it has to do with the Indian kids are street smart, man. They're street smart, so they probably had to change it. They do grow up quite fast compared to kids here.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, yeah, I guess it's just how you know, how they're brought up and the situation and everything else. Did you find, like, so just kind of coming back to those scenes as well of, you know, the dad have to do all this stuff. Do you find that stuff to be a little dated? Because, like, as a dad myself, like, I'm watching this stuff in the kitchen, and nowadays, like, to me, I'm like, this seems stupid. Like, and again,
What are you talking about?
You know, when he doesn't know how to make an omelet and he doesn't know how to make toast and all that. I'm like, you know, I felt that stuff was a bit more reflective of the time because I'm pretty sure guys know how to make a friggin' omelet or toast bread now.
It depends on the guy, man. Again, I know some men. I think it's more realistic, you know, more visible in our community, like the Desi men.
Fair enough.
Especially the first generation men who are here and they're married. I find them, they don't even know how to make tea, man. Forget toast.
Okay, to be fair, I do know how to make tea, but I can never make tea like my mother-in-law or like my wife. So I don't bother. Like, my tea is literally water and a tea bag. And they put some other nonsense in there, which I'm like, I don't understand what this is, but I love it. but did you find, though, like, what I did, not that I had a problem with, but what I did find an issue with Aquila Hemakaratum was the male chauvinism, like the sexist sort of mentality, I thought was a lot more overt and obvious in Aquila Hemakaratum. Then Kramer versus Kramer. Like, in Aquila Hemakaratum, you had Amir Khan literally come down, where's my breakfast? Where's my clothes? Who's going to get the kid ready? Where's my stuff? And the funny part was that Monisha Koda's reaction to that sort of demands from her husband was, I'm coming. I told you I'm coming. Just give me a few minutes.
Which is real, man.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not real. But I just find that in Kramer versus Kramer, I feel like that wasn't, like, the conversation, like, that's why I was saying that. I think that it's two different stories, right? Because in Kramer versus Kramer, they intentionally, I think, avoided those conversations. Like, they avoided trying to make it a man versus woman thing, or a thing where it's like, oh, well, he's being a dick, and then she's the innocent victim. Whereas Aquila Hemakaratum, I think, kind of fails to focus the topic of, like, okay, what is it that you want to, do you want to talk about marital problems? Do you want to talk about the roles of male and woman in a marriage? Do you want to talk about the roles of, you know, a mother and father? Like, I feel like it was all over the place because, for example, like you said, like it was, like, I find finding out about Monisha Koda's life and actually getting to see that montage of her life going from, you know, wannabe singer to housewife, I think that sympathizes the audience to her leaving. That we didn't get in Kramer vs. Kramer. In Kramer vs. Kramer, she just leaves. And for a good chunk of the movie, we're like, what a bitch. Like, how do you leave like that? Whereas in Monisha Koda's situation, in Aquila Hemakaratum, I'm very sympathetic to her leaving. You know, she left, and a long time, to Amir Khan, I'm like, yeah, bro, you were kind of a dick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that has a lot to do with the depiction of these situations, of the gender roles, where, like you said, In our culture, it is very normal for a husband to be that demanding of his wife to do those things. Whereas, I know that happened in Hollywood and in the West as well, but I think Kramer vs. Kramer intentionally avoids that. I think Robert Benton intentionally avoided that obvious of depictions, you know?
I think they were there, but they were subtle. They were so subtle that you have to kind of pick up on that. One scene that I can remember is when she leaves and her friend comes down and she's like talking to him, and she's like, she's been sad for quite some time. And she also says that, yeah, she just ruined your best day, right? That's why you're mad. Yeah. And the second part, when the kid says, did mom leave because of me? And he says, no, she left because I wanted her to be a certain kind of person and I couldn't understand her. In Kramer versus Kramer, I don't know if you remember that scene.
Yeah.
But so There but was a hint
that,
of it.
I like that in Kramer versus Kramer, though. Because, yeah, again, there was a hint of it. I think because you don't show why she left in the beginning, there is a lot of anticipation and curiosity. So that's why the first time Dustin Hoffman's character says anything about why she left, I think it has a lot more impact on us as the audience and in the movie, because you're like, oh, like, he realizes. Like, he does kind of see it now. Whereas in the case of Akela Hamakalatum, whatever Amir Khan says doesn't matter as much because we all saw what happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, as the audience, we saw how he treated her. We saw what her complaints were. We saw why she left. So I think that has a little less impact in the Bollywood version. Did you find, though, when she came back, that also happened a lot differently in both the movies? Because in Kramer versus Kramer, when Meryl Streep's character comes back, you know, she comes back, they meet right away, and in that conversation is when she says, I want my kid back. I know. Mm-hmm. And that conversation ends pretty badly, and that starts the court case. In Akela Hamakalatum, it's a lot different, because they do meet platonically a few times. He goes to, you know, she throws the kid a birthday party and stuff. And the reasons for Maureen Chakravarti leaving, there is a huge change in the movie as well. The career, right? The career jealousy situation, because ultimately in Kramer versus Kramer, Meryl Streep's character leaves because she wants more with her life. Dustin Hoffman has a job. They're kind of separate, right? Mm-hmm. They want to pursue their own callings in life, and that's what starts the problem. In Akela Hamakalatum, it's a totally different sort of situation, because both the characters want to be singers. They get married. Amir Khan pursues his singing career. Maureen Chakravarti doesn't get to, because she has to deal with the responsibilities of the house, the baby, the cooking, the cleaning. So she feels like he's succeeding more in the same thing they chose to do together. So she leaves, she becomes a highly successful actress, and he ends up still being a struggling singer-songwriter. So there is that as well, right? That, like, what did you think about that? Because that was like the biggest change in the whole story, right? Between the Hollywood and the Bollywood version.
Yeah, again, in this one, in Akela Hamakalatum, he tells her that you're not good enough. I don't think, even if you pursue your dream, you're not going to get anywhere. I think Amir Khan says something like that to her a couple of times. Where Kramer versus Kramer, it's in the court where she says, it was her, right? She says that I wanted to pursue
and he said... She implies that he made her feel like she wouldn't be able to get a better job.
And she does. She's making more money than him.
Yeah.
But in this, I kind of understand now, seeing Manisha Koirala getting successful and making more money than him, it makes her less evil. What was the original question? I forgot.
I was just asking what your thoughts was about that big change, because a lot of plot points in Akela Hamakalatum also change because of that, right? Because, you know, there's the jealousy factor, right? That you both start off in the same sort of aspiring career, but hers launches, she becomes a lot more successful than you, and you're still struggling. And then
I liked it.
Back.
It was new. It was something original. Yeah. I liked it. I actually liked that point in the movie. And this is how you make a remake. You know, this is like, it's not copy-paste. Mm-hmm. There were some copy-paste there, but I like some of the original things that they did. I really liked the fact that they made them both like aspiring singers. Mm-hmm. Where I think the other one, it was like, there was what... One was an artist, the other was an advertisement.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, in Kramer vs. Kramer, their jobs never intersect. Like, it was never a matter of someone being more or less successful. I think the only situation the job came up in is when it was in context to, oh, can you provide for your kid, right?
Whatever original thing they did with Akela Hamakalatum, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
And it was good. I just wish that they cut it up a little bit. It was just a little too long. But I did like it compared to some of the remakes you see, like Brothers. Anything the original they did just sucked.
Yeah, in this case, it was actually Warrior and Brother, which is, by the way, Swiss Film Podcast episode 8. Feel free to go and listen. but no, I completely agree with you. I honestly did feel the same. And to put into context what Baloch is saying as well for our audiences, because you've mentioned a few times that Akela Hamakalatum is a little bit longer. Akela Hamakalatum is 2 hours and 40 minutes, which again, to put into context, Blade Runner 2049 was 2 hours 45 minutes, and there is a lot of filler in Akathamagasm. There's a lot of meandering sort of plot points, meandering situations, and in contrast, you've got Kramer versus Kramer, which is 1 hour 45 minutes. So there's almost an entire hour, an extra hour worth of material in the Bollywood version. I think a lot of it works. I think a lot of it also doesn't work, like you're saying. For example, I really liked how the father-son relationship transformed from in Akathamagasam versus Kramer versus Kramer. Like I mentioned, I thought in Kramer versus Kramer, Dustin Hoffman had to do a lot of the heavy lifting in that dynamic. And it was a lot more subtle. Like it wasn't like a drastic shift. It wasn't like, oh, now they're happy running around in the park and tickling each other. But, you know, whereas if you look at Akathamagasam, I love that song montage, where that one song montage captures completely that, okay, there you go. Like, they've got into a groove. They're now, you know, he's over it, he's over it. They're making a life together. So I did like that a lot more. I thought that had a lot more impact, especially near the end, when finally Amir Khan does say that, hey, we've made a life for ourselves now. Whereas in Kramer versus Kramer, I didn't entirely get that. Like, when he's like, we made a life for ourselves. And I'm like, did you really? You guys just kind of do the same stuff over and over again. Like, it's nice. Like, he talks to you more and stuff, and you guys talk more as, you know, father-son. But I didn't get that sense of, you know, that they have a close relationship. I got more the sense of, oh, he's doing a really good job of being there for his kid. I got the sense that they're really close as father and son. Did you find that at all, or...?
I didn't find that at all, but now that you're mentioning it, I can see it. Yeah, I felt like he'd become a better father and they had a fun relationship, but I didn't see it that way. But now that you mention it, I can see it. Yeah, Akele Hum Akele Tum did do a better job at building a father son relationship. Plus, they had a lot of musical element to it, which made it fun. You know, that's what made the movie fun. Hey, I do want to mention, they did touch upon that topic of plagiarism in music.
They did, which is hilarious. Yeah,
which is a little hypocritical, too, if you think about the music in this film, right?
Is it? Oh, is it music?
Yeah, there's Raja Kurani Se Pyar Ho Gaya. Where did that lift that tune from? Can you guess?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of it right now. What are you talking about?
It's a fucking Godfather theme. It's a Godfather
theme. That does sound pretty crazy similar,
It is. It's not similar. It is the Godfather theme. They just added lyric.
If you slow it down,
And the second one was that one. Dil Mera Churaya Kyu.
Where's that from?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
That's awesome. Oh shit, I didn't even notice that.
I was listening to it and it bothered me. I'm like, where have I heard this song before? I know I heard it when I was a kid.
You heard it here first, folks. That's crazy.
Yeah. And the lyrics are similar too. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, the very next day you gave it away.
Shit. Oh my god. That's crazy. I'm like, they take a Christmas song and made it like a melancholy love song? Holy crap. Jeez. Okay then.
Plagiarism and music.
It's also funny because that's what one of the plot points in the story, right? That he has to sell his original songs to someone that they pass off as their own for money.
At least he made money. I'm pretty sure the person who wrote that song made no money.
The Christmas song? Yeah. I don't think they're getting any royalties from Akele Hum Akele Tum. I didn't even notice that. I will definitely try to put the show link, the notes on the... Jesus. I will try to put the links on the show notes. This caught me off guard completely. This is amazing.
Listen to Godfather theme and listen to
I'll try to find audio clips of both those, and I'll put them in the show notes for everyone for our listeners to take a look and see if you see it, and let me know if you see it. The Godfather one I have to hear before I can...
Yeah.
But yeah, the Last Christmas song, for definitely. Jesus.
Another thing that was stupid and a plot hole in the film. Remember when he says that Raja Ko Rani Se Pyar Ho Gaya, he's the one who actually wrote that song and the other singer took it? And then you see the close-up on her wife's face and she's like all shocked. I'm like, bitch, he sang that song in front of you. How can you not know that?
Like, yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, the world building isn't the best. Because there's also, I mean, in the beginning when they start arguing about the fact that, you know, like, he gets his first break, he gets invited to this party where all these film directors and producers are, and he just got an audition, and the wife comes with him, and she's like, well, give him my tape. I made a tape. Give it to the producer guy. And he's like, yo, listen, I just got my first shot. Like, give me a minute to, like, get in with these guys before I start.
Yeah, but there's a better way of saying it, man.
Because
he was being a dick about it. He could have said that, let me get in touch with these people, and then I will, hook you up. He just said, no, you suck. suck, and I can't let you destroy my career.
There is, and in that respect, I do think that Kramer vs. Kramer did it a bit better, because the chauvinism, the sexist stuff was a lot less, like, obvious. Like, because he was never like, no, you suck, you're stupid, get out of my life. Like, it was very much, you know, like, he didn't know he was doing it. Like, he was unaware, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas for Amir Khan's character, I'm like, you can't say you were unaware that you were being an a-hole to your wife. Like, you can't be like, I thought she liked being talked to that way. You know, like, you can't say that. Whereas in the 70s, Hoffman's character, you can be like, okay, you know what, this was just the time. You know, a guy didn't think he had to worry about things at home or whatever, whatever, because he was out, as he said over and over, and bringing home the bacon, right?
Yeah, speaking of sexism and in movies, there was something weird in Kramer versus Kramer. I don't know if you noticed it. There were a couple of weird scenes. Like, there was one where he's talking to his female friend, and he touches her on the ass.
Yeah.
And then there was a Christmas thing where he just kisses a girl out of nowhere.
I'll talk you through something. I'll tell you, we've discussed this, and I don't want to get too much into this topic of weirdness and you know, inappropriateness, but I'll tell you, I think this story completely sums up how you and I both felt and what is happening in the real world right now. So that scene, that Christmas party scene, where basically he is able to hustle his way into a job right before the custody hearing, so that, you know, he doesn't lose the hearing because he's unemployed. He's able to find a job, and in celebration, as he's walking out of this place that's having a Christmas party where he just got hired, in celebration, he walks up to some random girl, kisses her square on the mouth, and then just walks right away.
And says, Merry Christmas, and walks away.
So the funny part is, this scene happens after he has a scene where he goes on a date with one of his colleagues and ends up, you know, taking her home. So my sister saw that scene. Now, my sister's seen this scene where, you know, he gets the job and he comes out and there's a Christmas party, there's all these women. And my sister's watching this, and my sister's just like, I hope he doesn't do anything. I hope he doesn't sleep with anyone else here. And I'm looking and I'm like, yo, that was a date. Like, he went out with some girl. I don't think he's that big of a dick that he's just going to pick some girl up. Like, he's not a whore. And literally 2 seconds later, he walks up to that random girl and kisses her on the mouth and walks away. And my sister looks at me and she's like, defend him now. Defend him now. And even I'm like, yeah, I can. I can defend that. Like, what the hell? Yeah, that was awkward too. And even, I don't know.
Was that normal back in the days? I don't
know. I think there was an environment at that time, because, again, I've seen the movies from the 70s, Hollywood movies in the 70s, where there is this vibe of that women are, you know, like, hooking up with a woman is like a celebratory thing. Like, that achievement in and of itself is like, yeah, you know, like, you know, smacking a girl on the ass, like, your secretary, is meant to be like a playful thing. And again, I think this is obviously before that awareness came in that, you know, those are people too, and maybe she doesn't like being slapped on the ass, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, hooking up is not bad as long as, you know, there's an agreement between two people. But, like,
but I've seen a lot of, I mean, it's, it goes back to that. Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies where that happens, where it's like, you know, a guy, you know, wins a ball game or wins a football game or something, and will just take a random girl in his arms and just, like, make out with her, and she's supposed to be like, oh, and he's supposed to be like, yeah. You know, and it's weird, but I mean, and it's weird in the context of this actor specifically and what's going on today. But again, I don't want that to become the focus of this. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Very weird, very sort of inexplicable. There's also a lot of stories about the shooting of this movie, which, again, I'll link the Wikipedia article. There's also a lot of stories about certain behavior behind the scenes of shooting Kramer versus Kramer as well. That has come out in the light now. Meryl Streep, obviously champion for this kind of stuff, but. Moving on. So let's get to the end. I think we've talked about, let's talk about the courtroom scenes. Because I think that was also, you said that was one of the more memorable parts of Akira Hamakura Tom. Which movie do you think does those scenes better?
It's hard, man. It's hard. Both of those scenes like played with my heart. I got emotional watching both of them. I think it's probably, for me, it was equal.
Yeah,
I don't know about you.
They were different.
Some of them were a little over exaggerated in Akele Ham Akele Tum, but it did the job. One thing I can think of is when the lawyer says, "You're the only man who says that he's successful by going down the ladder."
Yeah, that was in both movies, I think.
Yeah, so Kramer versus Kramer did it subtly better. Yeah. Where this one, it was like everyone started laughing in the courtroom and stuff. So.
And also, to
I'm
be fair,
I'm nitpicking, by the way.
No, that's not a no. I don't think so because there. So in Kramer versus Kramer, the way they portray that is basically he loses his high-paying executive job, and then like we said, he basically hustles himself into a lower-paying job, same industry, but just a lower-paying job, a lower position than what he had. In Akira to Makere Ham, it's a weird situation that they refer to because there's a scene where his kid wants a toy that costs a lot of money. He tries to get this money from various different sources, goes to his job, asks his boss for a loan or an advance on his salary. When his boss says no, he just takes the money from the cash register and tries to leave, gets attacked, beats up some of the other waiters from his job, destroys things, and essentially goes to jail for the night. None of which, we didn't see the jail part, but we see that scene, and then they refer to that scene later on in the courtroom, and he's trying to justify it, and I'm sitting there going, how?
Actually, you're mixing two scenes up. Okay, so this scene was wherein Dustin Hoffman, Kramer versus Kramer, he misses a meeting because his kid has a high fever.
That was the equivalent of what they tried to do in Akira Hamakura Tum.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Like the car one, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, because in Kramer vs. Kramer, that scene plays out differently because he asks him, well, why did you get, what was the reason for you getting fired? Like your performance issues, essentially, right? And while going through his performance issues of why he was fired, one of it is, oh, you missed a meeting. And he's like, well, because my kid was sick.
Yeah.
And so he has to justify that, yeah, I missed a meeting. I left a meeting halfway because my kid was
that
sick.
That scene was emotional, man.
That was such a good scene.
Yeah, like, he sounds like a mother at that point.
Yeah.
Like how a mother.
And I also think that's the scene in the movie where Meryl Streep's character sees that he did sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas in Akira,
she can relate to him, right?
Right,
she can relate to him at that point.
That his priority is the kid and not his job, which is why she left him, right? Because his priority was his job. But in Akira Hamakura Tum, a lot of that realization comes from a third character completely. That grocery store guy. Do you remember when he got on the stand and he's the one that was preaching about how awesome Amir Khan's character was? And that was during the part where she found out about the plagiarism of the songs, how he had to sell the songs, and she was all surprised and shocked about the Raja Ke Rani song.
The song he sang for her.
Right. but that's the part where I don't think I like that. I don't think I like that you needed a third person to come in and, you know, praise what this other person does to convince the wife. I like that in Kramer versus Kramer, the whole thing was just between the two of them, you know? And it was just them on the stand, bearing their hearts and souls, realizing, because I remember that one of the coolest parts of Kramer versus Kramer was when Meryl Streep's character was on the stand and Dustin Hoffman's lawyer was trying to get her to admit that she failed in her marriage, right? He kept asking her that, were you successful in your marriage? Did you not fail your own marriage? And she looks over in, you know, almost tearing up, looks over at Dustin Hoffman. And this was the sweetest part to me. Dustin Hoffman, like, you know,
says
not saying
no.
Anything.
Yeah.
He mouths with his mouth. He says no. Like, he's telling her that.
Yeah, that scene was sad, man. Just thinking about it,
sad.
I think I'm going to cry.
Below, you're like bearing your soul this episode, eh, dude? What the hell?
No, man, that scene gets me every time. Every time I watch it.
But it's a good scene, right? Yeah. Like, because it's like you're seeing that she's being tortured up there. You're seeing that, okay, this is the woman you're fighting for the custody of your child. But at the same time, you don't hate her. You understand what she did, why she did it. There's this, you know, mutual respect and you know, awareness that you loved this woman at one point, and he didn't want to see her in that position. So he said, no, say no. Like, just say no. It's fine. You didn't fail. It wasn't. And I love that. Whereas in Akira Hamakura Tum, what I didn't like about the relationship was that up until the last scene, Amir Khan is still super pissed off at her for leaving. Super pissed off for winning the case. I loved in Kramer versus Kramer where even when Dustin Hoffman's telling his son that you have to go live with your mom, he's so like smiling about it. He's trying to put such a positive spin on it for the kid, even though he's probably devastated as a dad. Yeah. But he's trying to be like, oh, I'll come visit you all the time. You'll have all your toys there. You're going to wake up. You're going to live with your mom. It'll be great. Don't worry. And the kid and the poor kid's just crying. Those are the scenes that got to me. Those are the scenes where I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah, when the kid starts crying.
Yeah. But again, that was lacking in Akela Hamakatum. Even when she shows up at the end and she's trying to apologize. She's trying to say, no, I'm not taking him anymore. Amir Khan's being like, what? What do you want? What do you have to say? And I'm like, bro, like, chill.
He still felt like a kid, right? Like, yeah. You didn't see him mature too much where... in Kramer versus Kramer, you see him mature up
and
take the responsibility.
Now, did you like the ending, though? Again, did you like the expansion of the ending from Kramer versus Kramer that Akela, because we do see them reunite at the end. Did you like how that went down, given everything leading up to it?
I like Kramer versus Kramer better because it starts off with that elevator scene.
Yeah.
She is leaving, and both of their, when you see the close up of both of their faces, they're like in anger and confusion. Here it ends with both of them smiling, and he actually compliments her, and she smiles. That smile tells me a lot, like, okay, they're gonna get back together. I don't know, it was just that smile.
And he also basically tells her that this is your home, too. And,
He say that to
he does, yeah.
Meryl?
Oh, no, sorry, not Meryl.
I'm talking about the elevator
scene. Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yes, sorry. I just got coffee delivered to me by my kid, so I got distracted. My bad. So you like the Kramer versus Kramer ending better?
Yeah, it was subtle. It was perfect. They went back to the beginning and showed how the transformation, maybe because the artist in me that likes the subtle stuff.
Fair enough.
Where in Akele Ham Akele Tum, I thought it was a bit too dramatic. She walks up to the door and she closes it and turns. Like, why couldn't you just go and hug him at that point? Why did you have to go up to the door? It felt like a Indian drama.
She's a traditional Indian woman. She doesn't want to see outside people when she's getting physical with her husband, okay? Come on, Baloch. Come on. I do want to end by talking about one thing, which I think is pretty important, and I think it kind of changes the tone of how the movies are perceived. So, and it is a feminist thing, so I don't know if you want to take a break or get ready for this, but...
are you telling me or are you telling the listeners?
I'm telling you, because you sometimes are very confrontational anytime this topic comes up. But what I want to talk about is the fact that throughout the movie, I mean, again, like I said, the movie, the premise starts off with this mom leaving her family behind because she wants something more from her life. She wants to better herself, mm-hmm. find a career, find a calling. Both movies have this premise. At the end of Kramer versus Kramer, that doesn't change for Meryl Streep's character. She doesn't feel bad about doing that. She feels guilty about the court case, about putting her family through this situation of having to choose, taking her son away from her home, which is why she comes back and she's like, I don't want to take him away from you. I don't want to take him away from his home. The ending of Akela Hamakatum, I got a different reaction from Monisha Koirala's character because she came home, she came to Amir Khan's house, she was bawling in tears, he was being a dick to her, she kept trying to apologize, and you know, she's like, I'm not taking him, he's your son, keep him here, blah, 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 blah. And then she's about to leave, right? In tears. In Kramer versus Kramer, Dustin Hoffman said, hey, go hang out with your son, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to be in the same room. You go hang out with your son. He's your son. Do it. That was like the implied thing, right? That you have your relationship with him. I'm just going to stay down here while you talk to him and give him the good news. We don't get that from Amir Khan. When she says, I'm not taking the son, the mom and son don't exchange any hugs of goodbye. No, hey, you're not leaving. You can stay with your dad. Nothing like that. She comes, she cries, she says, I'm not taking him, ha ha ha. And then she's about to leave, and then Amir Khan's the one that kind of says, well, hey, this is your house too. Like, you can stay, kind of a thing, right? And so she does, and that's how the movie ends. And I find that kind of takes away from... It almost kind of undermines all her reasoning to leave, because the way they made it seem was that she comes to him crying in tears, backs down from her position of, I'm not going to take the son, don't worry, he's going to stay with you. And she's leaving as if, what, that's it? Like, she's not going to have any contact with them anymore? And until he says, hey, stay, I give you permission to come. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought was a little weird and a little problematic when you compare the two endings. Mm-hmm. Did you get any of that?
I did feel like she was still portrayed as a villain.
Even by the end?
I got that, yeah, in Akele Hum Akele Tum. I did feel that. And I also felt like, what happened now? Is she going to give up on her career? That thing was for no reason. Yeah. Is she going to become a housewife again?
Exactly.
Where Kramer versus Kramer, she didn't apologize for becoming a better person. Even when she comes back, she says, okay, I can't take him away from the house. You know, he's gotten used to this.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. What she says something like that. I can't take him away
from his room. From his home. Yeah. Like, she's like, I was trying to make a home for him in my new house, but then I realized that this is his home and I don't want to take him away from his home. But never once did you get the sense that she's apologizing for leaving or apologizing for any of the other stuff she did. It's just that she didn't want the kid to have to choose.
Which made you look like she sacrificed again for the happiness of her kid.
But also gives you a sense of optimism, right? That, okay, both these people have grown. The father, the mother, both of them have changed their perspective because of the journey we just saw them go through. And now they can kind of move on from a better place, you know, be it their relationship, be it as a couple, be it as mother and father to their son. But at the end of Akele Hum Akele Tum, I kind of thought, like, the implied message was like, oh, look, the girl who left her family is the one who's the most unhappy. And the only way that she can move on with her life is if she comes back into her husband's home, kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I got at the end of, which I didn't really like. I mean, again, I understand that that's the story that's being told, like I said earlier, that it's the couple and their hookup, their, you know, their separation and then their eventual reunion. But I just didn't like how they went about that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the whole dialogue where he's saying what law says that a woman could be a better parent just because of her gender?
I like that. I think it was something similar in Kramer vs. Kramer too, that I think... Yeah. He says, you know, show me where it says that women have cornered the market on loving their kid or something.
Being
like
a better parent.
Yeah, something like that. Which,
being a parent.
I mean, and
which
I
think
like,
is something we probably won't be able to see nowadays.
No. I mean, listen, as a father myself, I don't want to have to play that card, Baloch, but but there's a lot of sort of validity to the fact that some kids, I don't want to generalize, but some kids do form a more natural, effortless bond with their moms. And this is simply biology, right? Like, I can't imagine what it's like to have something inside of you that you become emotionally, physically, and, you know, intellectually attached to. And then that thing comes out, and it's this cute ball of baby, you know? So all those emotions get heightened 100 times more. I don't know what that's like. And I only see it from my kids' perspective, right? And I see from my kids' perspectives, they are closer to their mom in a lot of different ways, especially when they're at the age when it's all instinct, right? Like, I can't talk to the kid at that age, you know what I mean? I can't be like, hey, listen, like, I'm gonna give you a cookie, okay? And you, like, we can't have this conversation. Like, I got a lot closer with my kids when they got older, when I was able to communicate with them, when I could share movies with them and share, you know, activities and conversations. But when they were just, you know, a baby and they were just this blank slate of a person, they were more, you know, naturally bonded to my wife. And again, and I'm not saying that as, you know, saying women have it easier or whatever, but I'm just saying that that's just, in a lot of cases I've seen, that's just kind of how it is. But that changes, right? As the kid gets older, as you become older and you become a different type of parent, you learn more, you experience more. All these things are fluid. Like, nothing's kind of set in stone. But I do think, as guys, I think we have to do a lot more. And I'm not saying this as a complaint, but I think we have to make a lot more effort to get to know your kids, to get to know your kids, to form that bond with them. Like, you have to look for things. Whereas my wife doesn't have to look for things. You know what I mean? Like, my wife does something cool, and the kids are like, Mom, what are you doing? Oh, that seems interesting. Whereas for me to do the same thing, I have to hype it up. You know, like, my wife puts on a movie, they're like, oh, mama's watching a movie. What is this? This looks so cool. I have to hype it up. I'm like, guys, this is awesome movie we're going to watch in a week. And it's so cool. And then I have to eventually, like, hustle them into my way of thinking.
Okay.
But again, I don't mean that in a sense of, you know, it's easier for women. It's not. Like, I mean, there's a lot of challenges that come from that perspective as well. But, you know, I just find that, again.
No, but I'm saying, could you have a movie nowadays with a actual dialogue like that? That what, that where a character would say something like
something solely for women or whatever?
No, no, something like how can you say that a woman is a better parent just based on her
of
gender?
Course. I don't think
can you can you have a movie with a dialogue like this?
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can set up a situation. Sure, but that has to be a very specific situation where you can get away with something like that.
Yeah, it's a risky dialogue.
Like both these movies, I think Kramer's Kramer and Kill the Hamagatum are, I think, reflective of the time that they're made in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think today you could do something like this because I don't think a lot of it will resonate. Like mm-hmm. again, like a lot of the things we talked about today, when we're watching these movies today, we had to put ourselves in the mind frame of, oh, remember, this is 79. Oh, remember, this is 95. Like, we had to make those compensations to our way of thinking to understand the context of a lot of the scenes. If you make a movie in 2018 and you have this same stuff happening where a guy can't toast bread, I would be like, frick, man up. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel bad for you. Like, fucking learn how to make toast, you idiot. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and, or if you had a guy that didn't know his kid, I'd be like, that's sad. Like, I don't feel bad for you. That's sad. Like, you can make time for your kid now. Like, we live in a world where that's a priority now. Like, you know, men aren't expected to work 24 hours a day. Like, that's not what the world is now. So for you to think you can do that and get away with it, I think it's a little self-indulgent, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so ultimately, I mean, the consensus seems to be that, from my perspective, I think Kramer vs. Kramer was a great movie for the story he was trying to tell. I think Akira de Hamagatum is a more comprehensive story about a family. And in that way, I think that succeeds, where Kramer vs. Kramer, I think, succeeds in bringing up the topics of gender roles and father.
But what movie did you like more?
From like an enjoyable perspective, mm-hmm. definitely I liked Akira de Hamagatum.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the other side. I actually
really?
Like Kramer vs. Kramer because it was subtle, to the point, and it didn't have over the top acting.
Fair.
And a lot of stuff was subtle. Even though Amir Khan is a good actor, I guess he was new. He was quite new right?
This was like, I think, like his third or fourth, fifth film, something like that. Very early in his career.
There were times where he was overacting, and I was like,
this is really early in his career. Yeah.
Yeah. So for that, I actually liked Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Sorry, no, this is not his fourth, fifth film. This was like his eighth or ninth film.
Again, it's 90s too, so it's got a lot of 90s acting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the reason why I chose Akira Hamagatum as what I enjoyed more, and definitely not the better movie by any means, but what I enjoyed more is simply because, like, this is a movie I can put on with my family and watch, and it won't be elements that...
It's not dry. There's a lot of musical element into it, and there's a lot of...
And it's not... And again, and I think it's made with that mentality as well, right? Like, for example, if my kids watch this movie, I don't have to explain anything to them. They'll get it, right? They get, oh, why did the mom leave? Well, this is why, because she got jealous, and the dad's not letting her do her thing, blah, 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 blah. If I watch Kramer versus Kramer with my kids, I have to explain a lot of things to them. You know, like, I have to have hard conversations. Well, sometimes mommies aren't happy in their way to daddy's treat. Like, it becomes like this conversation because a lot of it is off screen, right? A lot of it is something you have to understand in that mindset. Whereas, like, Abraham Gatham, you don't have to know anything. You just start watching it, and it's a beginning to middle to end story.
Yeah, yeah, true. And I love the title of both films, Akele Hamakeretum and Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just summarizes the film.
All right, well, Bolush, thank you so much for making the time, you know, 2 years later to be on the show to discuss these two movies.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Why don't you let people know where they can get a hold of you, your podcast, even if you don't, it's going to be in the show notes.
Well, you can check us out at Bollycast. Just go on Google, write Bollycast, and you'll find it. We were on iTunes. We're having some issues with iTunes, and that's my fault. because I think we were a bit too vulgar. And iTunes is like, dude, what the fuck? Be vulgar in a respectful manner. So we will be on iTunes soon. We just have to clear that up. But if you go Bollycast Lip Sync, you'll find us there.
The links will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
And what about your social
media? Hey, I did a better job than before.
Yeah, I think I blocked that out. Again, it was 2 years ago. Where can people get a hold of you on social media?
You can find me at thatbrownguy420 on Twitter and Instagram. And for Bollycast, it's Facebook/Bollycast.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, man, for taking the time today. And if you want to hear more episodes of the Split Screen Podcast, please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app, actually. And if you don't have any of those, feel free to visit my website on blankpagebeatdown.com to listen directly on your browser. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show, and once again, helps placate my insecurity about this show and life in general. To get in touch with us, follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me on Twitter personally at the Shah Shahid. And that's usually the best place to get in touch with me with any feedback or any film remakes that even you want to see discussed on the show. Obviously, as you can see, the format of the Split Screen podcast is one that is reliant on guests. So if you want to come on, you want to discuss any film, TV, comic book, or novel adapted into a movie, throw me a line. You can email me at Shah@blankpagebeatdown.com, or once again anywhere on social media, and you can come on and you can be cool like Baloch, and I promise it'll take a lot earlier than 2 years. Thank you once again, everyone, for listening, and have yourself a great week.